Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org. Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Do you ever wonder why religious leaders avoid the whole issue of the rights of animals? Well, almost all of them seem to, except for an occasional mention of trying to be kinder to animals or a yearly blessing of the pets. You know, I wonder about this a lot because I think religious leaders should strongly promote the welfare of animals as a peaceful and kind way of living. Wouldn't that be the most consistent with a lot of the religious teachings in general, to be nonviolent, to have respect for other living beings, and to respect God's creation? Well, the largest religious-based organization promoting animal welfare, and particularly vegetarianism and veganism that I'm aware of, is Jewish Vegetarians of North America. Today, we're very fortunate to have its executive director, Jeffrey Cohan, with us, and I bet he's going to have an opinion on this question that I raise. Welcome to the program, Jeffrey.
Oh, great to be here, Lori. Thank you for having me on your show.
Jeffrey, why is your organization promoting veganism in the Jewish community?
Well, for two reasons. That's a great question. Our organization exists for two main reasons. The first is that the Bible, or what we call the Torah, really does emphasize a plant-based diet as the ideal and places a tremendous emphasis on the compassionate treatment of animals, which we can talk a little bit more about.
Right.
And the second reason we exist, Lori, is because while there's other organizations doing great work in vegan advocacy, they cannot get their message into synagogues, Jewish community centers, Jewish student centers, Jewish newspapers, and so on. That's exactly what we do.
Very good. And yes, we will delve into that later on. Tell us a little about yourself. How and when did you get involved with Jewish Vegetarians of North America?
Great question. I'll tell you real briefly my personal story, so I'll give you an abridged version. About 9 years ago, I was in synagogue with my wife, when it just so happened they were reading the first chapter of Genesis in the Torah at the religious service. And when they got to verse 29 of chapter 1, it says, God's talking to Adam and Eve, and God says, I have given you the plants and the seed-bearing fruits for you to eat, period. So we looked at each other and said, it looks like we're supposed to be vegetarians. So right there on the spot, we went from omnivore to vegetarian. So then that had me wondering, well, why aren't more Jews vegetarian or vegan, especially rabbis, if this is what it says? So what else does the Torah say? So I started looking into it, and to my pleasant surprise, it's a constant theme throughout the Jewish sacred texts. And I also discovered that many top rabbis, especially in the past 100 years, I mean, some of the best, most famous rabbis in the world have been vegetarian or vegan and have espoused vegetarianism or veganism as a Jewish ideal.
Wow.
So I started a blog called The Beet Eating Heeb, which is about that's beet, not beef, but The Beet Eating Heeb, which is a blog about the theology of veganism. And then when I became aware of JVNA, when the chance opened up to be their executive director, I was lucky enough to get the job.
And when was that? When did you become the executive
director? This was about 2.5 years ago.
Very good. And how did JVNA get started, and what are its activities?
JVNA, we're actually celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. So the organization was actually founded in 1975. And it came out of a conference, I believe, called the International Vegetarian Union, which was in Montreal, where some of the Jews there got together and they were so inspired, they formed this organization, which is stronger than ever today, 40 years later. We're doing so many things right now, but what we have found out, the two most effective things to get the message out are live presentations and video advocacy. So we're working very hard on both fronts to give live presentations at synagogues and Jewish community centers and on college campuses. And we're just about to roll out our own version of Farm's 10 Million Lives video that, like Farm, is a farm animal reform movement. So we did a version of their video that, like what Farm does, will conclude in a vegan pledge form. And when viewers of the video see this form, they'll be able to choose a period of time in which they will pledge to go vegan. It might be one day a week, 3 days a week, all week long. It'll be a menu of choices, and then we'll follow up with them, giving them tips and resources and recipes to help them fulfill their pledge. So Jeff, those are the two main things we're doing, not the only things,
yeah,
but the two main things.
Right. Very good. Jeffrey, there are vegetarians and vegans in many different religions. What is the relationship of veganism with Jewish teachings or culture?
Well, as I mentioned, the very first conversation recorded in the Bible between God and human beings, God tells us to eat a plant-based diet.
Yeah.
So that's in the very first conversation. We can never say that meat eating is prohibited in Judaism. It certainly is not. But, interestingly, meat eating usually is presented in a very negative context in the Bible. And, of course, in Judaism, there are severe restrictions on what kind of meat you can eat, whereas you can eat any type of plant. Furthermore, there is no blessing over meat. Interestingly, but yes, there is a blessing over fruit and vegetables. There's a blessing over bread. There's a blessing over wine. So it's quite conspicuous that there's no blessing over meat.
Mm.
So I could go on and on. There's certainly a lot more information on our website, jewishveg.org, but there's no doubt about it that a plant-based diet is the ideal in Judaism, and that meat eating, while permitted, is not what God intended for human beings.
Jeffrey, I want you to talk a little bit about the concept of dominion, a notion often overused and misused when referring to the relationship of people to non-human animals.
Thank you so much for asking that question. That's such an important one because, just as you said, Lori, the term dominion is absolutely the most misrepresented, abused, and misunderstood word in the Bible. The word dominion, Rada in Hebrew, actually comes up in the exact same conversation where God says, you will eat the plants, period. So there is no debate among rabbis that dominion does not include the right to kill animals for food. So the fact that people use it as a justification for eating meat is astounding to me. It's a complete misrepresentation of what the Bible is telling us. Secondly, the word dominion appears in the exact same sentence where God is saying to the angels, let us make human beings in our image, which means that we're supposed to exercise dominion as God would exercise dominion. And of course, the primary attribute or characteristic of God in the Bible is mercy. So we are supposed to exercise dominion with mercy, just as we expect God to be merciful in God's dominion over human beings.
You explained that beautifully. Thank you. In the last minute or two, how much of what JVNA promotes is based upon interpretation of biblical writings?
Well, we're like other veg advocacy organizations in that we talk about what happens to the animals, what happens to the environment due to animal agriculture, and of course we talk about the health aspects too. So the Torah, and when I say the Torah, I'm not just talking about the five books of Moses, but all of the Jewish sacred texts, that is sort of a fourth leg of the table for us. So we're doing all the same type of advocacy that other organizations are doing, but tying it all together with biblical and references from our tradition.
And aren't there many ways to interpret the multitude of passages in the Bible?
There definitely is. And there, However, the emphasis on compassion to animals is a very consistent theme in the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's really remarkable. I can give you many examples, but here is a great one. The two greatest leaders in Jewish history, Moses and King David, according to the Talmud, which is the authoritative book of Jewish law, according to the Talmud, they were both chosen for leadership because they had been shepherds and had treated their sheep with such care and compassion. The two greatest leaders in Jewish history were anointed for leadership because of their compassion for animals. That's in the Talmud.
Yeah. Don't go away. More with Jeffrey Kohan with Jewish Vegetarians of North America. You're listening to Animals Today.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Here's the problem. You've got a stain on your carpet, your clothing, your leather, your upholstery, on your car seat, and you can't get it out. What is it? Maybe it's hair dye, nail polish, even graffiti? Solution? Stains Are Out. This is the best stain remover you've ever laid eyes on, stain remover. It'll get out nail polish, hair dye, spray paint, any stain on any surface, guaranteed, period, or your money back. It's made from banana oil, oil from the skin of a banana. You can't find it anywhere else. Biodegradable, environmentally friendly, and it works. Imagine taking out graffiti off the wall. What would you pay to do that? Imagine taking tar off your car and any stain, even dye transfer, the clothing color that's transferred onto the other clothes. It solves that too. Any stain anywhere. And today, Stains Are Out is available for $29.99. You get a bottle of Hyper Concentrate. This concentrate will make 16 bottles of the best stain remover you've ever laid eyes on for $29.99. But it's the deal of the week, and here's what we're going to do. If you buy a bottle, we're going to give you a second bottle for free. That's right, $29.99. It's buy one, get one free. So call 1-888-877-0490, 1-888-877-0490. Go to mycoolgadgets.com. Check out the video there, taking out graffiti off a car. You heard me right. Surfaces like tile, concrete, bathroom fixtures, it doesn't matter. But being the deal of the week, here's what we're going to do. The first 30 customers, not the 31st, will get a third bottle for free. You heard me right. Buy one, get two free for still only $29.99. Now you're going to have 48 bottles of the best stain remover you ever saw. It's 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Back to Animals. Today we're speaking with Jeffrey Kohan, Executive Director of Jewish Vegetarians of North America. Jeffrey, talk a bit about Jewish dietary laws and how they are in conflict with or go along with veganism.
Okay, so you're talking about the laws of Kashrut. First of all, as I said earlier, it's very telling that while we're given permission to eat meat, there are severe restrictions on how we do that. And there's also very detailed instructions on how an animal is to be slaughtered. Now, today there's some debate about whether Jewish kosher slaughter is more humane or less humane, but there's no question when those laws were introduced 1,000 years ago, they were far more humane than what was happening in the rest of society. Now, there's a couple of things about the laws of Kashrut are interesting to note. First of all, the very fact that these laws exist, putting restrictions on meat eating, indicates that there is a real moral concern with eating meat, period. Otherwise, there would be no restrictions on it, just like there's no restrictions on eating plants. And secondly, many leading rabbis believe that the laws of Kashrut, the kosher laws, were intended as a temporary concession. And we were meant to evolve beyond them, just as we no longer practice slavery or polygamy. And furthermore, the kosher laws actually make it somewhat difficult to eat meat. You need to have separate dishes for meat and dairy. You have to get your meat at a particular store.
Mm-hmm.
And by making it difficult, it's obvious that the religion intended to minimize the amount of meat being consumed.
Compared to members of other religions, and atheists and agnostics, do you think, Jeffrey, that people brought up in the Jewish tradition are more or less open to the ideas of animal welfare and animal rights and veganism?
To answer that question, you really only need to look at what's happening in Israel. Israel has become the leading vegan country in the world. And this is a change that has really occurred quickly just in the past few years. In fact, Jane Villas Mitchell, the great animal rights activist and TV personality, just went to Israel and did a 15-minute video program about the vegan scene in Israel. So, yeah, you will find among rabbis in particular, but among Jews in general as well, a higher proportion of vegetarians and vegans than you will find in the general population. That's true in Israel, certainly. Also true in the United States.
Interesting. Jeffrey, Richard Schwartz, President Emeritus of JVNA, believes the planet is on the verge of a catastrophe due to how we abuse it, and that includes the damage from modern agriculture. Does the organization, or you personally, have a position or opinion about that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you go to our website, there's an entire section about the environment. And just last night, in fact, I gave a presentation in conjunction with another Jewish organization in two secular markets called Environmentalism Starts on Your Plate. So we definitely emphasize the environment is one of our planks in this. Again, goes back to biblical sources, too, because human beings are given dominion over the earth, so we have to be responsible stewards as God's agents. So how we treat our planet, as our DVD documentary is titled, is truly a sacred duty.
Jeffrey, you briefly mentioned about Israel and its movement towards veganism. What do you see happening in the movement towards veganism in North America compared to Europe and Israel or other Jewish populations around the world?
Well, certainly because this is a big generalization, I know, and there are certainly exceptions, but by and large, the vegetarian and vegan movement tends to be liberal, politically progressive. And, of course, the Jewish population in the United States is predominantly liberal, progressive, democratic. So because of that correlation, you do find more vegetarians and vegans in the Jewish population here. And certainly as a country as a whole, things are really looking up. In fact, as you probably heard, this just came out in the last week or so, the first draft of the new U.S. dietary guidelines actually say we should eat less meat. This is amazing. These are the guidelines that the food pyramid or the food plate is based on. So this is potentially, if this makes it into the final version, will be a watershed for the vegan advocacy movement.
Yeah, that would be huge. Are the temples, synagogues, and rabbis your partners or your obstacles, Jeffrey?
Actually, I would say a little bit of both. If you go to our website, you'll see we have a rabbinic council. And on our rabbinic council are some of the top rabbis in America. So, most rabbis who, of course, are well-trained in the Jewish texts know that meat eating is presented less favorably than polygamy or slavery, really, in the Bible. So they tend to be fairly open to our message.
Yeah, then why aren't more rabbis truly sympathetic to the welfare of animals like we are and willing to talk about to their congregations?
Well, there is a little bit of a conflict of interest in the Orthodox world because although we have many Orthodox supporters and we have Orthodox rabbis on our rabbinic council, but at the same time, the Orthodox movement also certifies kosher meat. So they have a financial stake in the kosher meat industry. So there's that. You find in Israel and in Europe, more of the top rabbis are explicitly endorsing or espousing a plant-based diet. To give you a perfect example, Jonathan Sachs, who just resigned after many years as the chief rabbi of Great Britain, Jonathan Sachs is a vegetarian. The chief rabbi of Great Britain, the most famous rabbi in Europe.
Wow. That's a great example. Don't go away. More with Jeffrey Kohan right after the break. You're listening to Animals Today. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Animals Today. Check us out at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to all our previously broadcast shows. That's animalstodayradio.com. Animals Today Radio is largely sponsored by the nonprofit animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals, AIAnimals.org, AIAnimals.org. If you like this show, you like what you're hearing, please consider supporting Advancing the Interest of Animals by making a donation through their website, AIAnimals.org. And you can like us on Facebook.
Here's the problem. You've got a stain on your carpet, your clothing, your leather, your upholstery, on your car seat, and you can't get it out. What is it? Maybe it's hair dye, nail polish, even graffiti. Solution: Stains Are Out. This is the best stain remover you've ever laid eyes on. Stain remover. It'll get out nail polish, hair dye, spray paint, any stain on any surface, guaranteed, period, or your money back. It's made from banana oil, oil from the skin of a banana. You can't find it anywhere else. Biodegradable, environmentally friendly, and it works. Imagine taking out graffiti off the wall. What would you pay to do that? Imagine taking tar off your car and any stain, even dye transfer, the clothing color that's transferred onto the other clothes, it solves that too. any stain anywhere. And today's Stains Are Out is available for $29.99. You get a bottle of Hyper Concentrate. This concentrate will make 16 bottles of the best stain remover you've ever laid eyes on for $29.99. But it's the deal of the week, and here's what we're going to do. If you buy a bottle, we're going to give you a second bottle for free. That's right, $29.99. It's buy one, get one free. So call 1-888-877-0490, 1-888-877-0490. Go to mycoolgadgets.com. Check out the video there, taking out graffiti off a car. You heard me right. Surfaces like tile, concrete, bathroom fixtures, it doesn't matter. But being the deal of the week, here's what we're going to do. The first 30 customers, not the 31st, will get a third bottle for free. You heard me right. Buy one, get two free for still only $29.99. Now you're going to have 48 bottles of the best stain remover you ever saw. It's 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
Tired of trying to keep up with your credit card payments and getting nowhere? Looking for a program you can trust to consolidate all of your credit cards, medical bills, and collection accounts into one easy monthly payment? Family Financial can help you. We are a nonprofit organization that has helped thousands of individuals eliminate their credit card debt. Family Financial will contact your creditors to establish an affordable payment plan, negotiate lower interest rates and minimum payments, and saving you thousands of dollars in interest and stopping those annoying collection calls. Our friendly certified counselors will work for you, not for the creditors. Don't spend one more day worrying. Call Family Financial now. 800-208-0871. 800-208-0871. And if you call today, you will receive a free financial analysis. Call now. 800-208-0871. 800-208-0871. Not available in all states. Not a loan company.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea. Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS the Solutionist on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You could be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-780-8280 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-780-8280.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which...
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back. We're speaking to Jeffrey Cohan, Executive Director of Jewish Vegetarians of North America. Jeffrey, some of the Orthodox community traditions are just bizarre, archaic, and inhumane, like the practice of swinging a live chicken above one's head on the eve of Yom Kippur, or the wearing of fur hats made from foxtails. Would you please comment on this?
Oh, sure. Both of these practices, especially the first one you mentioned, which is called Kapparot, the swinging of a chicken and using the chicken to transfer your sins. That practice is an embarrassment to the Jewish community, and it's only practiced by a small minority of Orthodox Jews. So it's unfortunate that the media seems to always show photographs of that practice during our holiday season, but really it's a very small fraction of even Orthodox Jews that engage in that.
What about some of the animal sacrifices mentioned in the Bible?
Great question, and we certainly have more information on our website, jewishveg.org, about that. I'll just say three things about the sacrifices. First of all, obviously, we haven't done animal sacrifice in 2,000 years, so it's a bit of a moot point. Secondly, it's a consensus among biblical scholars and even among some it's also the position of some very famous rabbis, that the only reason you see animal sacrifices in the Bible is because at the time the Bible was introduced, human and animal sacrifice was the norm. That is how people prayed. So the feeling was if you did not have animal sacrifice in the Bible, you couldn't sell it to the people. And the third thing is, although it seems barbaric, really, when you think about it, it's not nearly as barbaric as what we do today in factory farms and slaughterhouses. In the case of the sacrifices, the individual Jew took an animal that he personally raised, brought it to the temple, was there with the animal when the animal was slaughtered, realizing that the animal was being killed in place of him.
Yeah.
So it was much more intimate than what we do today when you go into a supermarket and see a chunk of flesh in plastic wrap.
Well, I'm so glad you explained that. Thank you. How does JVNA interact with other religions? How do you persuade others to treat animals better or to adopt a vegan diet if their religious orientation is different from yours or even absent?
Great question. In fact, I guess it was last year now, it was about a year ago, we were invited to give a presentation at Seton Hall University, which is a major Catholic university in New Jersey. And I have to say, we were treated very well, and our message was well received. At Vegetarian Summerfest, which is a conference in Pennsylvania every summer, which many of your listeners probably go to, every year I'm on a panel, an interfaith panel. Now, what I will say is the Jewish argument for the Jewish basis for a vegan diet is a little bit stronger than the Christian one, only because most of these very animal-friendly verses in the Bible appear in what Christians call the Old Testament. And while Christians also read and follow the Old Testament, their emphasis is on the New Testament. So some of the verses that are important to us are less important to Christians, and therefore their arguments might not be quite as deeply rooted in their religious tradition as ours are.
Jeffrey, some animal welfare issues are pretty easy to gain support for, such as opposing the clubbing and shooting of baby seals on the ice floes of Canada. Most people would love to see the end of that, and yet you ask a person to alter their diet and to give up or eat less meat or dairy, and usually the reaction is to mind your own business. Has that been your experience, that people get defensive when you talk about their diets?
Well, that's the assumption, that that's sort of your starting point. So there are ways of messaging to sort of get people to open up to listen to your message. So I usually start out, I'll be speaking in a synagogue tomorrow night, for instance, so I'll start out by talking about there's so much we agree on. I don't need to change your mind or your values. You already oppose cruelty to animals, and you're in a synagogue, so you take Judaism seriously. So then once you establish those points of agreement, it's easier to start talking about what's happening on our nation's factory farms, because anybody is going to be appalled by that.
Oh, that's so true. Jeffrey.
Yeah, so what we, and I also find this, and I think this is a very important message for the movement to hear. Don't get hung up on the individual you're talking to. just get the message out there, because the people who are ready to hear your message will, they'll be the ones to be the next to convert to a vegetarian or vegan diet.
And even
you can't worry about the single person you're looking at.
Yeah. And even planting a seed in someone's brain is a good first step, right?
Right, because usually a person needs to hear the message three or four times.
Right.
Jeff, I was a vegetarian for 4 years before I went vegan, so I needed to hear a lot about farm animals before I was able to give up eggs and dairy, too.
Right, exactly. The majority of the people aren't going to turn in one day.
Right. And that's why, as an organization, we promote reductionism, reducing one's consumption of animal products as a path to veganism.
Jeffrey, we have about 2 minutes left. Any last words for my listeners?
Well, I'm really glad that we talked about Dominion, because one thing that really pains me about the movement is there are people in the movement that blame religion for the sorry state of animals on our planet. And I really don't believe religion is to blame, and not just because our sacred texts preach mercy and compassion and even frame meat eating negatively, but really the problem of animal abuse is pervasive throughout the planet, among religious people and also among atheists, people of all different ethnic and virtually all belief systems. So it's not really, it's a societal problem, it's a human problem. There is a tendency among human beings to view ourselves as superior and to oppress anyone who is different than us. And it's not the doing of religion. Religion is maybe part of the problem, but is not the root cause.
Very good. Jeffrey Kohan, thank you.
Thank you, Laurie. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure's ours. Thank you, sir.
Okay, look forward to talking to you soon.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match to the dangers to today's world. The good news is animal behavior experts say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that the outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a crying child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. It's fun for both of you. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there can be no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you not to give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late. This message brought to you by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelters by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer, you're acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at AIAnimals.org.
Yeah.
If you're like most people, you have lots of plans. A financial plan, an eating plan, an exercise plan, a career plan. You also need a plan for the care of your pets when you're no longer able to provide it. Every day, animals are sent to shelters, terrified and confused, or they're euthanized because their owners have become incapacitated or died. Some people don't give the future a thought. Others assume family members will care for their pets. A better way is to name caregivers and provide detailed instructions about your pal's feeding, play, social, and health care needs. But even family and designated caregivers don't guarantee that pets will have a home. Good intentions sometimes take a backseat to life's realities, such as a new spouse who doesn't like animals, a sudden desire to travel the world, or the adoptive caregiver's own infirmity. A legally enforceable pet trust offers the only assurance that your assets will be used as you wish to provide for the comfort and care of cherished animal companions. More than 40 states recognize pet trusts. Check with your attorney, accountant, or state legislator to see if yours does and how to create one. Animals Today urges you to plan for your pet's lifelong well-being. Take steps today so he or she doesn't risk becoming yet another sad shelter statistic.
If your car broke down right now, could you pay for the repairs? Did you know the average cost to replace a transmission is $2,500 and an air conditioning compressor costs $1,600? Call AutoSave Go today and have your covered repair bills paid for when your vehicle breaks down. If your car has less than 125,000 miles and is 2002 or newer, AutoSave Go offers affordable coverage that can save you thousands in auto repair bills. Coverage pays for parts, labor, diagnostics, taxes, and in most cases, even 24/7 roadside assistance. It's easy to qualify, and unlike other companies, we offer only the best coverage, always at the best price. It is unbeatable. Call AutoSave Go right now for a free, no obligation quote. Mention this radio ad and get free 24-hour roadside assistance with your coverage. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. For your free quote and free roadside assistance, call now. 800-260-9703. That's 800-260-9703. 800-260-9703.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-780-8280 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-780-8280.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea. Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS the Solutionist on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You can be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you can make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? Yes! According to the U.S. Census Bureau, you can make almost twice as much. Going back to college is now easier than ever. There are select online colleges that provide laptops to their students. In fact, there are thousands of college programs on your laptop. You can go to college anywhere and everywhere right from a laptop. Call My College Laptop and you can find hundreds of programs from accredited colleges and universities nationwide. Start a new career in law enforcement, business, information technology, healthcare, and hundreds of others. Call My College Laptop to find an online college that will provide you with a laptop. In no time at all, you can double your earning potential. Call now, 1-800-285-6834. That's 800-285-6834. 800-285-6834.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to the show. Somebody sent me this article the other day that really annoyed me. Did you see this? This Canadian hunter in an auction won the right to hunt a single mule deer buck in an Antelope Island, which is a state park in Utah. And he paid, get this, $390,000 for the right to do it. This happened at the annual Western Hunting and Conservation Expo in Salt Lake City. And according to Miles Moretti, who is the president and CEO of the Salt Lake City-based Mule Deer Foundation, quote, "Some of the money raised from the auctions help us run the show, but the majority of it goes to conservation projects to help all wildlife." So what I find insane is if the idea of having an auction is to help all animals and promote conservation, then why does the activity involve killing an animal? Of all the possible ways that you can raise money for a cause to help the animals and wildlife, why this? And do you think it has something to do with the way Mr. Moretti defines conservation? Joe Mealy, president of the Committee to Abolish Sport Hunting, thanks for joining us again. Joe, you saw this article. What is going on here where an auction is held for the right to kill an animal?
In a nutshell, that's what happens. These state hunting organizations or private hunting organizations hold these auctions where they raise hundreds of thousands of dollars and over a period of years, even millions of dollars, to basically put a price tag on the lives of these animals with the excuse that the monies raised will help conservation projects and restoration projects and things like that. It's obscene. These hunting agencies do it with domestic wildlife, they do it with endangered species, and it's all to bamboozle the public into thinking that this money is doing some good.
So this hunter bid $390,000 to get this tag. Why would someone pay such a high price, and where is all that money going to go, Joe?
The money goes to the state hunting agencies. When it's a state hunting agency that's running the auction, the money is usually used for restoration projects, cleaning up parks, replanting native flora, things like that, which on the surface seem, of course, we want to take this degraded habitat and make it what it once was for wildlife, for fauna, for flora, for people who use these parks. That's terrific on the surface. But you must remember that everything game agencies do in some way promotes or supports their hunting, trapping, and fishing programs, because that's where the bulk of their money comes from every year.
Yeah.
So they have to do these things to benefit the wildlife, but they're only benefiting the wildlife for the hunters who want to kill them.
Yeah, this is crazy. Joe, are these types of auctions rare, or do they happen often?
Sadly, they're not rare at all. State game agencies sell wildlife such as bighorn sheep and pronghorn antelope to the highest bidder. And private hunting clubs such as local chapters of Safari Club International will hold auctions for hunters to travel to Africa to kill wildlife. And like I mentioned, sometimes these animals are members of endangered species. Managers at one reserve in Africa, for instance, auctioned off the life of a endangered black rhino. He was a mature male because they wanted to choose this animal because he was no longer breeding and was dominant enough to push other males away and prevent them from breeding with other females in the area. And that's how they sold this as a conservation project. You know, it wasn't to allow a rich hunter with nothing better to do to go and kill an endangered species and have bragging rights. It was to, quote, enhance the population and help the survivability of an endangered species. There are far better ways to do that than to kill.
And, Joe, what do you think it says that someone would spend so much to kill an endangered animal or one that is rare in the area?
Well, it clearly speaks to the mind of the hunter. You know, they proudly boast that the money they spent, and let's be straight with this, $390,000 to kill an animal is absolutely obscene. Thinking when you consider all the good that that money will do without ever having to kill somebody in the first place. You know, that yes, that money is going to be spent to enhance habitat and work toward protecting wildlife, but like I said, it's going to be protecting wildlife so hunters can kill them. But notice how this wasn't a straight donation. You know, it wasn't a $390,000 donation to promote the work of this wildlife agency. It was an auction to go out and kill. You know, he could have just as easily donated the money without having to get out these violent urges that he has. And I think it just speaks to the mind of the hunter that everything they do is, you know, killing is always a component of everything they want to do. Society needs to take violence against animals seriously. And if we did, it would be easy to classify people like this as sociopaths in need of psychiatric treatment. But with wildlife being nothing more than objects that are manipulated for human benefit, disturbed people like this are free to do whatever they want as long as they pay enough money.
Yeah. Joe, address the question I posed a few minutes ago. What does Moretti or state park officials mean when they use the word helping animals or conservation?
Conservation is a key word for hunting. Let's face it, that's what they mean when they say conservation. They want to enhance habitat, they want to increase wildlife populations, or conserve them, as they'll say, for the purpose of providing hunters with living targets to shoot. Because hunting permit sales and the excise taxes affixed to the cost of weapons, ammunition, hunting equipment, and things like that are the main source of funding for game agencies. These agencies have to cater to hunters and to make hunters happy in order to remain financially solvent. So they've created this thing called wildlife management, which is actually nothing more than creating wildlife populations for the purpose of hunting them. That's what they consider to be conservation.
It's just so insane. Joe Mealy, president of the Committee to Abolish Sport Hunting, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Laurie. It's a pleasure as always.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Laurie Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals. Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org.